Okay, and Russ, would you lead us in a pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, item number four, added agenda items. Any matters added at this time will be discussed during the other matter portion of this agenda.
No added agenda items tonight, Acting Chairman.
Okay. All right, any public comments at this time? Okay, no public comments. Approval of the March 23rd, 2017 minutes.
There's a change to those minutes. We added John Cameron's name to all the motion boxes. He was not formally in there. So would you please accept the minutes as changed?
Okay.
I motion that we accept the meeting minutes as changed.
I second it.
We have a second for Mary. Do I have a vote on that?
Aye.
Okay. That's passed. Okay. Okay, now we have item number seven, the resignation of the planning commissioner and reappointment of chairman and vice chairman.
Yes, so the previous chairwoman, Kathy Agan, she decided to step back and resign from the planning commission. And in Norm's absence, she was appointed chair and you were appointed vice chair. And so that's why you're running the meeting tonight as acting chairman. Okay. But we should reappoint a chair and vice chair tonight. I think would be a wise move.
Do we have any applications, new applications?
It's going to be amongst yourselves for, we will discuss at the end of the meeting in terms of filling her vacancy.
Okay.
But in terms of appointing a new chair and chairwoman or chairman, right. We should make that decision tonight.
Okay. I appoint Norm.
You appoint or you make a motion to?
I make a motion.
I second
this
motion.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Welcome back.
Okay.
Got the gavel.
I guess I can accept
you. Got time, yeah.
We also have to appoint a vice chair.
I appoint Russ.
Okay, I agree with that also because he's got the second most time in.
Yes.
So that puts you in the chair, vice chair. Do we have to vote on that?
A motion and quick vote again.
Can I have a motion for Russ to be vice chair?
A motion for Russ to be vice chair.
Okay.
I second it.
Okay, can I have a vote?
Aye.
Great, thank you.
Did you vote? Oh. All righty.
Let's see what you get.
Okay.
I'll remember that.
That gets that done. Now we come to number eight. We need to open a public hearing, and we'll open it this time on matter number 2017-09EX, exception request for 5270 Huntington Road to construct an 80 by 40 private storage shop building prior to construction of a residence. I'll turn it over to the staff, Tammy, and you can take it from there.
I will. So I have some details to read about what this hearing is that I'm required to read by law, so it'll be a bit dry, but the points are very important. In quick summary, this is a quasi-judicial hearing because it relates to a specific property, and the Planning Commission is acting as the judge or the jury on that. The Planning Commission's decision tonight will be the authority any decision unless it is appealed or City Council calls it up. So this decision, unless specifically called up or appealed, does not go to City Council. So the Planning Commission as hearings body will hear the argument concerning the application of Tyler Wolk. The address of the property is 52720 Huntington Road. The application is requesting an approval of an exception to construct a storage building shop prior to a residential home. All testimony shall be directed to the hearings body, Planning Commission. The applicable substantial criteria are found in the Lapine Procedures Ordinance, the Zoning Ordinance, and the Comprehensive Plan. Those are all addressed in the staff report. And all testimony and argument evidence must be directed to the applicable criteria or other criteria in the Comprehensive Plan or Zoning Ordinance that you believe to be applicable. At the conclusion of the hearings body will deliberate towards a decision or continue the hearing or deliberations to a time and date certain. Failure on the part of any person to raise an issue with sufficient specificity to afford the Planning Commission and parties to this proceeding an opportunity to respond to that issue precludes appeal to City Council and Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. So when you're making your comments, be very specific and clear so that the board or the commission has the opportunity to evaluate that based on the criteria. If somebody does not make a specific comment now or is silent, it means that you cannot appeal the decision later. This is a very, very important point. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. The hearing will proceed as follows. Staff will provide a brief report. The applicant will present its testimony and any evidence. Any interested persons will present testimony or evidence. The applicant, as the party bearing the burden of proof, will then be afforded an opportunity to present rebuttal testimony. Opponent rebuttal may be allowed by the Planning Commission's discretion. If requested by the hearings body, the Planning Commission, staff will provide closing comments. Questions from or to the chair may be entertained at any time at the hearing body's discretion. And then the hearing will be closed. And the council or the commission will deliberate. Commissioners must disclose any ex parte contacts, including site visits, prior to hearing observations, biases, or conflicts of interest. So if you've had any contact with the property owner or any what are classified as ex parte comments or contacts, this is the time to disclose that. So does any commissioner have anything to disclose? And if so, please state the nature of same and whether you can proceed.
The only thing I can say is I drive past the property four times a day. So I do see it.
Fair enough. But yeah, we wouldn't include that as ex parte contact.
Aside from that.
Anybody else?
No.
Okay, does any party wish to challenge any member of the hearings body based on ex parte contacts, biases, or conflicts? Okay. Chair, if you're ready for me to proceed, I will with the staff report. I will note in advance it will not be as brief as usual. I do want to go through every approval criteria because I know we do have proponents and opponents. And I just want to make it very clear that this is the Planning Commission's opportunity to really deliberate the criteria, and it is your decision. There is a staff report that has been prepared to guide and help inform that decision, but this is Planning Commission decision. It's not an administrative or staff decision. And if there are things in the staff report that they disagree with or disagree with any of the findings, and responses from staff, it's important for Planning Commission to note as well. If your decision is different than the staff report outlines, we need that specifically noted as well, because your decision is the one that goes on record, not the staff report necessarily. So just a review of the applicable criteria. As I mentioned, these are very important. These are what the decision must be based on. It's procedures ordinance, which outlines how this hearing and all the noticing is to proceed. The zoning ordinance, section 10 is the permitted uses. It talks about the specific zone, and then section 17 talks specifically about the exceptions process and the approval criteria for that. And then the Lapine Comprehensive Plan. So the request, just as a summary, is an exception request per zoning ordinance section 17 to construct a shop or storage building prior to construction of the residential structure. As you know, within the zoning ordinance, it is required that the principal use be constructed before the accessory use, and so the question is for an exception to that. The building size is proposed as 80 by 40 by 16, which is 3,200 square feet. These are just some examples. There were some questions about, what does 3,200 square feet look like? So I throw these up as examples. These are not meant to say this is what the building would look like. We have no idea because that was not submitted, but these are just size ideas just to frame the discussion. And this is another one, just another idea of sizing. This is a smaller one, closer to the 1920 square feet. Okay, so to remind you the applicable review criteria, I'm going to start going through the staff report. I'll try and remind you what page I'm on as we talk through it. The second page has a map of the property, although I think everybody's probably aware of it. You've already reviewed your packet. This application was noticed to adjacent property owners within 100 feet. It was posted in all the regular locations within town. It was on the website, and it was noticed in the newspaper more than 2 weeks in advance of the hearing. So the noticing procedures were followed according to code and state law. I'm going to go ahead and skip forward to the staff report. Doesn't have pages on it. That's gonna kill you. Sorry. I'll give it to you by section. So let's go to section 17, exceptions. It falls underneath the conformance with City of Lapine zoning ordinance. It's probably in the back third of the packet. I'm sorry, there are not page numbers. That's my mistake. It's the fifth page from the back. That helps. So I already got through like two-thirds of the packet for you. Are we on it? Okay, the very top of the page says duration of approvals. Okay. Yep, oh, Russ is looking.
I'm still looking. Where are we?
It's from the back.
Yeah, I got that.
Was it duration of approval?
Yes. Yeah, the one that says duration of approval is at the very top.
Yeah.
Got it, all right. So the first, I want to start with the first finding under the section 17 exceptions. This is the general introduction to the exception section. Exceptions may be allowed by the city for use or a structure that may not be appropriate generally or without restriction throughout a zone, but which, if controlled to number, area, location, or relation to neighborhood, would promote the public health, safety, welfare, comfort, convenience, or general welfare. I will note that over the time that I have been here consulting for the city, one thing I did hear from previous planning commissioners was that the exception process was established in the zoning ordinance to consider some case-by-case scenarios that might not fall within the strict interpretation code. And this outlines the background for that. I would note that in the finding for this, the construction of the store, shop, or building on the property does not promote general welfare, public health, public comfort, or public convenience. However, the storage of personal equipment and supplies inside a structure would be safer and is an aesthetic improvement over storage of equipment or retailers outside if the building is designed to be compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. A lot of these details will be again addressed in further findings, but I think it's a good time to introduce them now. The surrounding neighborhood is residential in nature, and several properties include accessory buildings. So to have a large accessory building is not necessarily incompatible. However, the typical size of the accessory buildings in the cable neighborhood are generally just measuring them off of an aerial, somewhere between 1,000 and up to 2,000, but somewhere around that 1,600 square feet seemed to be the max size that I was finding from the aerials. The proposed pole barn for the subject lot is proposed at 3,200 square feet, which is significantly larger than what seems to be in some of the adjacent properties. Further, the zoning ordinance defines an accessory building as a detached subordinate building, the use of which is customarily incidental and subordinate to that of a principal building. This could fit that, but it's quite large. We don't have an existing residential structure on the property to evaluate whether the proposed building is subordinate, and that's another reason there's an exception being requested. Based on the average home sizes and typical house sizes within the neighborhood, the size of the proposed 3,200 square foot storage building is greater than what could be considered as subordinate. So the staff recommendation would be that if Planning Commission approves the exception request, there be a condition of approval that limits the building size to the shop size to about 2,000 square feet or less, be more compatible with the neighborhood while providing at the same time that added level of safety for the applicant by creating location to store the equipment while he's hopefully building a residential structure. As a side note, I would note I did follow up with the county, and the county does allow accessory building construction on some lots up before the residence, but they do also use a 2,000 square foot maximum, so that size aligned with what the county does. I'm going to skip to the next page under the standards for granting exceptions. Number one, the establishment. So these are really the criteria that you need to evaluate these by. Number one, the establishment, maintenance, or operation of the exception will not be a detriment to or endanger the public health, safety, or general welfare of the community. The applicant has stated in his application that the building will be for private uses. Staff suggests that a storage shop building, if utilized as documented in the application for storage of personal equipment and a shop with no public or commercial use, will not endanger public health, safety, or general welfare of the community, as a proposed use doesn't generate traffic, emissions, noise, or air, water, land quality impacts. So a staff finding would be that it would fulfill that criteria. The second criteria, the exception will not significantly affect the uses of other property in the immediate vicinity for the purposes already permitted. The uses already permitted in the immediate vicinity are generally large lot residential uses, including single family homes, detached accessory buildings. Again, the applicant stated that the use is for private storage, and it's not expected to create traffic, noise, or odor, and should not significantly or materially impact the affecting adjacent uses. We can talk about neighborhood compatibility in the next number three criteria. Number three, proposed use will not create a look of clutter, garishness, glare, or create an obnoxious noise level, or would generate any other incompatibility with the surrounding neighborhood. The incompatibility with the surrounding neighborhood is possibly the one that we may discussed most tonight, I suspect. Staff recommendation on this, again, is that based on the application, staff doesn't expect the proposed use to generate obnoxious noises. However, a proposed ongoing condition of approval could be that the use would not create an obnoxious noise level, in addition to not creating a look of clutter, garishness, or glare. The neighborhood compatibility gets back to what I discussed in the opening. Is discussing, it gets around the size of the building. It is a large building, 3,200 square foot, which is, it would be typical for an agricultural lot, and it's not seen to be quite that size in the Cagle neighborhood, from what I saw in the aerials and by driving through. Just to sum up, because we've already talked about everything that's in this section related to size, a staff recommendation could be to limit the size of that storage or shop to 2,000 square foot or less. Number four, the use furthers the purposes of this ordinance, which implements the comprehensive plan. So the comprehensive plan outlines a number of different goals based from housing to infrastructure to economics. In generally, is not going to address a specific type of exception. The one thing I would say is that the comprehensive plan does reference the need for attractive and diverse neighborhoods. It also references the need to provide some flexibility to neighborhoods that are still developing and developing their own look. So not necessarily laying out specific design criteria for a neighborhood that doesn't already have it. Goal 4 of Chapter 10 in housing is to promote and protect neighborhood qualities that reflect the small town appeal of Lapine and improve compatibility between various uses, which again gets back to supporting that suggested condition of approval on the size of the building. I would take a sidebar, I guess. If there was already a residential home on the building that was of a certain size that you could justify a 3,200 square foot accessory building being subordinate to and incidental to, that might change the discussion a little bit. But because the building is going in first, there's nothing to really gauge it by for compatibility and subordinate. Number 5, the establishment of the exception will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of the surrounding property. Development of the surrounding property will require dedications along the frontage of the roadway with Huntington in particular, but Huntington and Cagle. As you all recall, there is a transportation system plan in place that requires certain widths for the roadways. Huntington is an arterial requiring 78 feet of right-of-way, and Cagle is a 64-foot right-of-way. So there are some recommended right-of-way dedications associated, if there is an exception to be granted, to be able to satisfy this criteria so that future right-of-way could be there for that roadway improvements. That right-of-way dedication would be 9 feet along Huntington Road and 7 feet along Cagle for only a portion of it, because there's already an existing sliver of right-of-way existing on Cagle. Number 6, adequate facilities, access roads, drainage, and or necessary services will be provided. I think this is an interesting discussion that we should, you as a commission should discuss more as well. But first, access. The applicant stated that the property has access from Huntington and Cagle. We can't promise we don't have jurisdiction over Huntington Road, so that would be up to the applicant to verify that with the county. However, we can guarantee access off of Cagle, so he does satisfy the access requirement to the parcel. The water and sewer discussion is the interesting one, I think. At present time, there are no city water and sewer services existing to this property. However, the water sewer master plans, and Corey, if he wants to, can elaborate on more, but they do include the plans to provide water and sewer in that area, and based on recent grants, it looks like that will be more sooner than later, in the next 2-3 years, correct?
Yeah, all I'd add to that is that because the city did accept the $1.2 million community development block grant, one of the stipulations of that is that when the design and engineering work to plan the expansion into the Cagle and Glenwood neighborhoods, when that plan is completed, a 24-month clock starts for the city to begin construction of those projects. Now, we're anticipating next fiscal year, starting July 1, which runs through June 30, 2018, we're going to do that design work. We're going to have an engineer do that design work during next fiscal year. So if that finishes at some point towards the end of that year, then the clock starts for another 2 years to begin construction. So I think Tammy said it right when you're talking probably about 3 years out, I would say.
So there's a couple things to consider in this. The first being, taking a step back, if the applicant wants to develop their property right now, if they were going to go build a home on the parcel tomorrow or in the next 2 years, they'd be required to put in a septic and a well at a significant cost. When the city water sewer goes in, then in a few years, they'd be required to hook into the city water sewer system, negating some of those pretty significant costs they would have put in. So it's difficult because you can't quite build the house yet. He could put a significant cost when there is already promised water sewer, not promised, but pretty good likelihood that there will be water sewer based on the recent grant that was accepted. The other side of that, though, is that if there is a shop or storage building constructed out there, there needs to be some significant coordination with Deschutes County and the Office of the State Fire Marshal to meet fire code. So it's, you know, we don't know what the fire marshal would say, but there would be a condition, if this was approved, that he would need to coordinate with the fire marshal to see, does a well need to be drilled anyways to have fire access? And what sort of fire code requirements would he place on it? Further, if the facility was ever switched to having any dwelling in it, it would need to be permitted as such, and it would need to have all full utilities to the structure. So the condition would need to be, at this time, if it were to be a storage, there would be absolutely no dwelling within it. The final section of this criteria relates to transportation, and again reiterating that to provide the transportation requirements, there would be a proposed required dedication along Huntington of 9 feet and along Cable Road of up to 7 feet to meet the full width of the TSP. Criteria number 7, adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress and egress so designed as to minimize traffic congestion in the public streets. As noted previously, the applicant stated this will be private building for use of the private property owner. In that case, staff finds that there would be little to no traffic generation and it would be negligible to the roadways and there would not be any traffic congestion as a result. Number 8, if the exception involves a public use or a use providing public utility service, this one is just not applicable because it's not the proposed use. And finally, number 9, the lot area, lot width, and setbacks meet or exceed minimum requirements are adequate with the proposed use. The existing parcel is a little over 3 acres and is triangular in shape. At its narrowest point, the property's depth perpendicular to Huntington is about 70 feet, and its widest point towards the south is 300 feet. The applicant shows the structure to have approximately a 50 to 55 foot setback from Huntington and 105 feet from Cable. The lot area, lot width, and setbacks exceed those minimum requirements for the residential zone in compliance with this criteria. And to city staff's knowledge, there are no existing non-conforming structures existing on the site today. And then finally, I would just note that in the very end of this, there are a number of recommended conditions of approval. I would like to reiterate them, taking time to do it in 5 minutes real quick, because these are so important, I'd like to go through them. These, again, are staff recommendations that can be shaped based on the hearing and your discussions tonight. General conditions of approval. It's always important to note that these recommendations that staff has made in any associated decision are based on the application package as submitted. Any substantial change to the application beyond what's requested in the conditions would require a modification of approval. Prior to building permit application, the applicant and property owner shall submit a site plan application to the city for review in compliance with city standards. Upon building permit application, any construction plans that include all proposed and or required public improvements, water sewer service connections, if there were to be any, although in this case there's not water and sewer service in there at this time, site grading, drainage, etc., would need to be submitted to the city. Some of those won't apply in this case because they don't exist. The other recommendation is that the size of the storage building and shop be limited to 2,000 square feet in the area. Prior to issuance of building permits, applicants shall dedicate appropriate right-of-way width to meet the TSP requirements of 78 feet on right-of-way on Huntington Road and 64 feet of right-of-way on Cable Road to the city, which, as I mentioned earlier, equates to 9 feet along Huntington and 7 feet along Cable. And then the applicant property owner shall coordinate with Deschutes County and the Office of the State Fire Marshal to meet fire code requirements for fire flow and apparatus access. Prior to construction, any work within the public right-of-way, if there is any, and there may not be, but if there were, it needs to be approved by the city engineer and county roadway engineer. And the applicant must apply for and receive building permits from Deschutes County prior to construction of any buildings. Finally, ongoing conditions. Proposed use shall not create a look of clutter, garishness, glare, or create an obnoxious noise level. Number 2, approved storage shop building shall not be used as a dwelling unit unless all appropriate building permits are received from Deschutes County. And finally, if the proposed structure includes any fixtures or living quarters at any time in the future, full utilities must be provided to the site by the applicant, compliant with all applicable city and county standards. So that includes the staff report. Thank you for your patience. I'm happy to entertain questions, or Chair, you can open it up to the applicant comments and testimony.
Okay. Is there any questions from the commission now towards the staff? Okay. All right. All right, that's the staff report. Now we have the proponent's presentation. Are they present?
Yeah.
Okay. Step up, state your name.
Just for anyone making public comment tonight, the microphone's on, so you don't need to push any buttons or anything. Just adjust it and make sure you're speaking into it. Thanks.
I'm Tyler Wolk. Really not a whole lot to say. I'm just looking, asking for an exception to build this building prior to building a house. I'd like it to use for storage. I have a lot of trucks and toys and stuff we'd like to put in there, and rather not leave them in the street. And just kind of leaving it up to you guys to see what you guys want to do about it.
Okay, does the commission have any questions?
Who actually owns the land?
My dad.
Your dad. Does he plan on moving up here or changing ownership or anything?
No, he's gonna. I'm gonna buy the property from him over the next couple of years here, but you know, he has no plans of moving or anything like that.
Do you have any kind of timeline as to when you would construct a residence?
No, not right now. I more wanted to get the building there, start storing stuff, and then worry about building a house more when we could find out what's up with sewer and water, and just kind of know what I want to do for a house more at that point. I've looked into the Adair homes, I've looked into a few things, but just haven't really found something I'm settled on.
So no real timeline as of today.
Are you from the area?
I've been here for 6 years, so I'm from Southford originally.
Okay, and you live in the city of Lapine?
No, I live in Bend now.
Yeah.
I've been living in Lapine. I moved out 6 months ago. I was living off 6th Street.
Okay. Any other questions?
The 2,000 square foot wouldn't work for you?
I have more stuff than would fit in 2,000 square feet. For that, I'm either going to apply it for a house and add 30 feet to it and make a bigger building and put my house inside, or I'll sell the property and move somewhere else. I have too much stuff for 2,000. I have a 2,000 square foot shop now that's full and stuff sitting outside of it.
You realize, of course, you can put 4 trailer trucks with tractors into that size of a building?
I've got 2 race trucks, 3 hot rods, 6 four-wheelers, dirt bikes. I've got work trucks. I've got too much stuff. I own a lot right now on in Bend on the corner of Butler Market, over the underpass there, and it's just filled with vehicles and stuff right now. And that's a 4,000 square foot building.
But you don't know when you're going to build your house, your residence?
No, I don't.
So until that time, this is basically used as a shop?
Storage area.
Storage area. It's not residential. Okay. But anyway.
I didn't think it'd be a big deal. I mean, most of the neighbors in the area have tractors, have stuff stored outside and all around. I wouldn't think that an extra, 1,600 square feet is all that much.
Okay.
That was more.
Okay. Any other questions from the commissions?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We have some opponents comments.
Proponents.
Okay.
Not opposing.
More. Is there more testimony for proponents?
I think she could testify right now.
Okay. Yeah. Step forward and state your name.
Gloria Fleming.
When I When I first read this, my name's Gloria Fleming, 50662 Deer Forest Drive, Lapine. When I first read this, it sounded like the perfect scenario as to what we went through. We bought our property in 92 and with plans of retiring in 2000. And we would come up here all the time and work regularly on it. And at one point, we decided that we would go ahead and put up a structure to keep our tools in to, eventually, once we did build it, we ended up putting a trailer in there the last couple years because we didn't want to haul it back and forth. We just stored it there. We didn't live in it. We stored it there. The only thing, we did have water and electricity on the property. So, you know, we met the fire standards. And we did have to do a site plan showing where the house was going to go in relationship to the garage workshop. So those were the things that the county required. They also required that we not put in any windows or anything like that. In fact, I don't even think we put a side door on the garage until we actually moved up and started building our house. So I did have an experience with it, and like I said, we did, you know, we had to go through the process and get the work done. I do think ours is bigger than what was recommended because we had a 34-foot trailer in there, plus the other half of the garage was all, you know, tools and things. So anyway, I just wanted to share my own experience, thought it might be helpful.
At that time, you were not moving into the city of Lapine?
Mm-mm.
You never have actually moved in here?
Mm-mm.
It's out of the, so that's out of the city and it's in the...
Right, it was under the county, under the county rules.
Laws.
Right, right.
Which has a completely different...
Yes and no, I mean not on...
Not completely different,
no.
But they are a different zone.
Yeah, when we did the comp plan, and we did talk about this extensively, and we didn't really specify any sizes or anything like that, but and that's why, you know, the exception process was put in place, because it made sense. You know, I know several people that have, the moving process takes a couple of years, and if you can get some of your things up ahead of time, your tools and all those things, so you can start working on your property, you know, it makes sense. The only thing is, I would recommend you don't put fine china. I learned that cold weather does not agree with china. So, because we were using it for storage too. And so, anyway, any other questions?
No, I don't have any. Do you have any?
Okay, thank you.
One quick question. Do you know the...
No.
Okay. So that is four. Now, is there any against? Okay. Step up, state your name.
Sure.
Your address.
My name is William Wilkin. My address is 16816 Cagle Road. I'm the property owner to the east. And I really don't have any exception to a pole building on the property as long as there's a house first. And the size of the building is, like you say, it's much larger than anything that's around. It's bigger than any of my buildings. And I'm concerned that without a house on the property that it will never ever be developed as a residential lot. It would be just a place for storage. And I'm not looking forward to that. The other thing is if he gets a permit for a pole building, will he be able to have electricity in it, since that's considered another permitted item? If he gets electricity into the building, then it'll be more than just storage. And so I'm concerned about that too.
Okay. Now, you live directly to the east of that?
Yes.
And you have 10 acres there, I believe?
Yes, that's true.
How many buildings do you have on there?
I have two shop buildings and a house.
And nothing in comparison of size?
No, my biggest building is 24 by 36, of which I have two cars on a car lift, an ATV, a boat, and a tractor. So, and I understand it's nice to have things covered, but 40 by 80, you could park almost 8 motorhomes in that. And
that's so, except for trailer trucks with the tracks,
sometimes, yeah,
can be backed into a 40 by 80.
Right. So that's my concern.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions for him?
No.
Okay. Any other opponents? Okay. Step forward. State your name.
My name is Kelly O'Neill, and I live at 16830 Cagle Road. I'm two properties to the east of this property. We've lived in La Pine for 39 years, and over that time, we've seen the growing trend in both commercial and residential buildings as being more improved and more improved. I think that this would be setting a poor precedent to allow a accessory building to be built without a residence, a residence that probably or maybe never ever built. I think it's a direct conflict of improving of La Pine. All the properties in this area are residents only. The largest, I've built 5 on this street myself, including my own residence. For decades, Deschutes County has never allowed accessory buildings of this size to be built on a property without a residence. Allowing this exception begs the question, why have zoning at all? The problem with La Pine over the years, since I've been here for 40 years, is that you could build whatever you wanted and do whatever you wanted. And that's, some people, and I can understand that point of view to some extent. But without zoning, without regulations, you turn my 3,600 foot house and the 4,000 foot house next to it, who also objects to this and is not here right now, you're devaluing the values of our properties. And the largest outbuilding on Cagle Road right now is 1,208 square feet. And it's probably only 12 feet high, not this 40 by 80 by 16 feet high. I think the intent of this building is commercial use, and it's not only 3,200 square feet, 16 feet high, it's very large. And I have, Tammy had mentioned something about the exorbitant cost of sewer and water. I've built 5 houses on the street. I've had to absorb the exorbitant cost of putting sewer and water to these properties. That's just part of it. The house I just built last year, the owner tried to get an exception from the county to put a standard system in temporarily because the sewer and water is coming down. The county would allow that if the town could have given a letter to the county stating that it was within a certain amount of time. The city couldn't provide that letter. They're saying 2 or 3 years. It could be, we know the way government works, it could be a lot longer than that. I think that because of the narrow configuration of this property, especially when you take away the right-of-ways that are going to have to be dedicated, it's going to stand out like a sore thumb. The property is a prominent location of the corner of Huntington and Cagle, which is the entrance to the Cagle Road subdivision. And in that subdivision, we've seen a trend of nicer and newer homes going in. And I think this would be against that. This size building has one good spot to be put in, and that's, La Pine provides it, and that's the industrial park. And I think a 40 by 80 or even a 2,000 square foot building, I think it's too big. It's right on the corner. You go by this every day, you had mentioned. But that's a narrow lot. It's 300 foot at the widest, and it's going to be a lot narrower. And with the setbacks and the right-of-way dedications, it's going to be all you see when you pull onto this street. And I think that's going to be a wrong thing to do. And I would thank you for consideration on this matter and hope that you make the right decision. Or at least the decision that I would think is right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Wait 1 second.
Okay.
Commission, have any questions for this gentleman?
Not for me.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Anybody else speak in favor? Okay, does the landowner have any rebuttal?
Yeah, I got some stuff I can say.
Okay.
And first to start, Bill sold the property. I've completely conveyed my plans of building the shop when I bought the property. So why he's upset right now, I have no idea. Those plans were 100% clear about why I was buying this property and what I wanted it for and my intent, and all of that. Second thing is, if I could buy a lot in the industrial park right now, I would have bought one and put one there, but there's none left for sale at all. And if I get denied for my permit, what I'm probably going to do is add 30 feet to the building and reapply for a home inside of the building.
Could you explain that? You're going to add 30 foot and put a home inside the building?
I'll make it my living structure, my home. Instead of building the house, I could add 30 feet to the building for a cheaper price, build my home in the building, and still have my shop. I have a property in Bend that's the same facility.
Right.
So it becomes a residence and a shop and storage.
At the same time.
Okay. That would still have to pass the county for size and everything also, though.
Yeah, but it would be a home.
Right. Okay. Any other questions?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Okay. Does F. Now let's go to G, staff comments.
Was there an opponent's rebuttal? Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Opponent's rebuttal.
There was a
proponent's rebuttal.
At the chair's discretion.
Is there any proponent's rebuttal? Yes?
Come on out.
The only thing I have to say is that he just said when he bought the property from Bill, well, he just stated earlier that he didn't even own the property, his father did. So that's the question that I have.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that takes care of both sides. Now we're to the staff comment.
I don't have any further comments at this point, unless, you know, obviously some clarifying questions, you have questions about anything, happy to answer. I would note that once we get to towards the end of the decision, I do have some changes I want to mention that were made to the staff report. But I want to see where your decision ends up going, because there may be significant changes. So I just want to make sure I loop back around to that at the end.
Okay. All right. We're on H, commissioners' questions and clarifications.
Yeah, I do have one more clarification I'd like to make. You said you have racing cars up there in Bend. Are they sponsored?
No.
So they're?
They're personal private cars.
They're for a private course?
No, they're private cars.
Are you racing professionally?
No.
You don't race for any money or anything like that?
Just for fun.
Okay, is this that you'll be working on the race cars there and firing them up and so on and so forth?
No, I couldn't see why I wouldn't.
Okay. Anybody else? Clarifications? Okay. All right. If there's no more questions, no more questions from the commission, we'll close the public hearing at this time, and we'll open the commission's deliberations. Okay. Mary, we'll start with you.
Did I talk to him?
No, talk to us.
Just make sure you speak into your mic so that it's on recording.
Yeah.
Oh,
you have to be recorded.
Oh, it has to be recorded. Well, I think it's a lot to go in a residential area. This big of a shop.
You're saying size-wise?
Size-wise.
Any other concerns?
I think we may have traffic too. I mean, if he's got all the stuff coming in and putting in and playing around with it there.
All right, Russ?
Yeah. I have some major concerns with it. Number one is the size of the building itself. And there is no site plan for any house in the future. It was never even proposed. Right at this point, he doesn't even own the property. And this does not seem to be a place where, like Gloria, they were going to move up here. They built a shop. And a lot of people do that in the Pine area. And then they move and they start building the house. But this is not what this is all about. This is storage for race cars and tractors and all sorts of great things, the size of which is unreal, as far as I'm concerned. And it doesn't really belong in a residential area in the city of Lapine. I mean, yes, there may be, eventually there might be a house up there, but it's certainly not, what is the term, auxiliary housing or substructure in order to build a house that's bigger than the garage or the shop. You know, you're talking about 4,000 square foot house in order to make this substantial, and I don't see that ever going in out there on that property. The other thing is, you know, the first thing you see when you drive into Cagle is going to be a shop out there. And I have relatives who do a lot of racing with cars, and they are loud, very, very loud, because they don't put mufflers on those. They don't keep them nice and quiet. And even though they're inside a big shop, when you have a metal shop and you turn one of those things on, you can hear it about five blocks away. And in order to have a race car, you have to be able to tune. That is a problem. So I think we're going to have a noise problem in the future also. In other words, I don't think it's going to be very neighborly. And as far as the size goes, that size is entirely out of proportion to anything in Cagle. And Cagle is a major area that we have that's big enough in Lapine City to handle something like that. And there are three other lots that are 10 acres, and they don't have anything like that out there in Cagle. Yeah, I mean, it's just plain too big and too much to ask for residential development.
Okay, that's my opinion. Appreciate that. John?
Certainly the size is clearly an issue. But even more so, I think if you look at strict interpretation of the zoning, that says no. Even at a reduced size, strict interpretation says no. And if it were to be approved, that would somehow, in my mind, set up a new zoning precedence that I don't think would be compatible in a residential area. It's poor neighborhood compatibility. And again, you know, aside from any feelings I might have, I mean, I certainly am a gearhead, and you know, I wrench, and I understand all that, and I think it's a great thing. But I don't know that it would work in the type of volume that would be coming in. The noise thing, moving the vehicles and so forth and so on. Then we start to worry about the water, well, septic, city water. Doesn't seem like that's anywhere in the plan. I hadn't considered anything in terms of devaluation of neighboring properties, but perhaps that would be true. But again, I think it's just too big to go in without a residence. Even with a residence, I think it would be an issue. If an alternate plan comes in where it would be built as a residence with attached storage and shop, that's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole different request. There's no plan for a home other than making it one unit. I don't know, I guess that's my opinion.
Okay. Any further from the commission?
I just think it's just way too big for the area.
All right. One other point, that right now there are three lots that have just been sold across the street from that. People are trying to be building, moving into across the street, going the other way. We have a trailer park down there. We also have other lots down there. I mean, this is in the middle of this city. We want the Pine to be a city. Mm-hmm. There are umpteen thousand acres around here where things can be like this can be, not in the city. And that's why we have zoning laws. And as far as noise pollution, again, having lived with racing people before, I know how loud it is. And you can hear those things opening up all the time. And if you're going to work on your cars there, we're going to hear it. And I happen to live five blocks away, and I don't like to hear that. You know, that's not why I live here. So.
Okay. I guess I can voice my opinion. I have several concerns. One, that the gentleman sitting in front of us is not the owner of the property right now. But I firmly believe in the zoning also. There are situations where people could build a shop, a smaller shop, waiting to build, but they have plans. They go ahead with their water and their sewer. They put that in. They're trying to do it properly. And with the end goal that it is, they're going to live there. In this situation, I find that we don't have that guarantee. However, if the gentleman wants to come back with the permits, put the house in first, just resize the shop and put water, sewer in like it's supposed to be right now, then I would have less objection to it. I believe it's just going to be a shop, and I believe that if it is going to be used for racing, and I have a situation right now where I live, I can hear a race car that's fired up during race season, and it's quite a ways away, and which I've got nothing against racing. I fool around myself. But I believe that could cost the city enforcement costs later in the future. But I just say we stick with the zoning, and I think it is would be an eyesore right out in front of Kegel. We are trying to spruce up the city, and so I say we just stick with the zoning right now. Come back with some house plans, and do that properly. Then we will take a look. And if he says he wants to build the shop and build his house in the shop, that's fine. Come back with the plans, start the permit process, and do it. That's up to the whole process. That's doing it properly. So the next step we've got is...
If the commission feels like they're at a point where they can make a decision, there could be a motion and vote on that. If there is a need for further deliberation, there's an option to continue the hearing, just so you know what your two options are.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we deny.
I would like to second it.
Okay, we have a motion to deny it, and we have a second on it, and we have a vote.
Yes.
We have to state our name now, right? Correct?
Yes.
It's now a nay in order to do a nay.
Nay.
Yeah.
Nay.
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 Okay. Well, state your name.
Oh, Mary.
Let's clarify that.
Okay. Clarify the motion, I guess. If the motion is to reject, then it would be a
so you have
affirmative
to agree
vote.
With it in order to
okay.
reject.
Okay. I agree to reject the motion.
Okay. Aye. Russ Smith, vote aye to reject.
The proposal.
The proposal.
Okay.
Aye, John Cameron, vote aye to reject.
Aye, Nora McClung, vote aye to reject the proposal.
I would like a further clarification for documentation. We've got recorded minutes on all the reasons for why, but just so it's documented as to specific criteria. I think what I heard from every commissioner that was related to neighborhood compatibility, there were concerns with neighborhood compatibility due to size of the structure and due to noise from the race cars. We will note that in the record and reflect that in the staff report, or the decision, I should say, planning commission decision.
Okay. At this time, that will close this public hearing, right? And then the next item on the agenda is item 9. It is item 2017-08IF. Okay, it's a legislative amendment to the zoning ordinance 2012-05 to create certain definitions for certain marijuana businesses and add them as allowed uses in certain zones and to establish business-specific regulations and clarify permitting process. At this time, we'll reopen a public hearing regarding that matter.
As a clarification, Chairman, we're actually just opening the public hearing. That was an error on the agenda.
Instead of reopen, it's just open.
Oh, open. Excuse me.
There's a typo on the agenda.
Sorry about that. Okay. All right. So we're opening the public hearing and staff comments.
Yes. And on this one, I'm going to focus on the amendments. There are a significant amount of amendments. Just in a quick summary, there's been a lot of discussion of marijuana amendments. We've already been through the production amendments a year ago. That was for the indoor agriculture in the industrial zone. You recently saw, and it also went to council, the amendments for the marijuana dispensaries. And now we are looking at generally marijuana businesses, because there's a number of code that relate to all of them, but specifically addressing processing now, as well as testing laboratories. The code was drafted by the city's legal staff, as they have drafted all of the marijuana code. But I will step through all of the amendments so that you can see what is before you. The hearing tonight and the decision from after the hearing will go, if it's a recommendation, will go to council for their hearing and final vote for adoption if you choose to recommend this. So getting into the details, again, a reminder of the review criteria. We have to review it based on the procedures ordinance, the comprehensive plan, and the statewide planning goals, which look very similar to the comprehensive plan. The amendments, I apologize, these are rather small, but I'm hoping they can just serve as guiding. So the first amendments, this is to the beginning of the zoning ordinance, and In that very the section 7 towards the beginning of the zoning ordinance, there is a section already in there for a zoning permit that's required. It defines it fairly loosely. It's less than a site plan, but it doesn't have a lot of meat with it yet as far as how we would review it and when it would be applied. So the most of these requirements in here are not specific to marijuana, but it's it relates to some of the marijuana requirements down the road. But we felt it very important to update this section because it was missing some criteria that we can apply for a lot of different uses. So going through these, zoning permit is required when commencing a principal use on a vacant lot in a shell building not approved for a specific use, or if the site or building has not been put towards any specific use in the past 5 years. So if there's a lot that has a building on it but was never really addressed to site plan as far as what its use was, when we review a site for a site plan, we know what the use is, we know what the traffic generation is, we know where they're loading, we know all the different requirements associated with it. So this gives the city the opportunity to say, okay, you're commencing a new use, we need to look at that at something less than a site plan level though. It's going to be a lesser cost, lesser level of effort, but to make sure that all bases are covered. Changing of a use of a principal use as well. Construction, erection, enlargement, reconstruction, or structural alteration of any single-family dwelling, including placement of a mobile or manufactured home on a property. Again, we don't require a site plan for a single-family home, but we do need to take a look at it for setback requirements and just the basic requirements of a lot. The other criteria that would be triggered for a zoning permit is if the use requires a greater number of parking spaces than are currently provided on the site. This is where we get into what the applicable procedures and review criteria are for the zoning permits. Most of this is already in here. It just cleans up the language a little bit. So this is just mostly housekeeping. Number 4. These are added requirements. So these would be applicable criteria for a zoning permit. Again, the site plan review criteria is several pages long. This is just what we'd apply to a simplified zoning permit. We need to verify that it's a principal use and it's allowed within the zone. We need to make sure that it includes the correct number of bicycle and vehicle parking spaces, that it complies with any specific criteria applicable to the proposed use. So in section 12 of the zoning ordinance, which you'll see in a little bit, we'll get into that for marijuana uses, there are some special uses, marijuana being one of them, that have some additional criteria. So that's just giving the city the opportunity to make sure that they're meeting those. And to make sure that the proposal complies with any applicable conditions of approval in prior land use decisions on the site, so that those are not neglected. All right, this is where we get into the amendments of an addition to for new definitions related to marijuana. The proposal is to modify the indoor agriculture definition slightly, taking out as well as the cultivation and production of marijuana plants and flowers provided such uses, because the indoor agriculture is a more inclusive use and we don't need to reference this. It's almost extraneous statement. It doesn't change the meaning of it, but it's an extraneous statement. Definition of marijuana to make it clear, and a marijuana business, which includes everything from production to processing to wholesaling, retailing, and laboratories. Further definitions of processing facility, production facility, products, testing laboratory, wholesaler, clarifying planning director. And then the time, place, and manner restrictions ties in the specific ordinance numbers. We will insert that 2017 dash and clarify that. Okay, the amendment 3, this is where we start looking at where to insert the uses. As you recall, the production is already inserted in the industrial zone as a conditional use. So this starts getting through the other uses. The only amendment recommended here by staff is the addition of marijuana testing laboratory into the commercial zone as a principal use. and into the mixed-use commercial zone as a principal use. Very similar to what we talked about during the marijuana dispensaries discussion, this clarifies that marijuana businesses are not to be located in the transitional areas. And those are those two pockets, one on the north end of town and one on the south end of the town, are mostly, they're largely residential. That just require extra master planning for a large development. And then most of the uses are proposed to go into the industrial zone. You see the testing laboratories is still listed as a principal use in the industrial zone, but under conditional uses, you have everything else. You have the production, you have marijuana processing, wholesaling, not retail, because the retail is in the commercial zone as of the last round of amendments. And just as a reminder for the conditional uses, the items that are added there, when they come to the city, they would need to submit a conditional use permit as an application as well as a site plan. And in that conditional use process, we review it for impacts to the community. We have very specific criteria that we review it for, including odor, water sewer impacts, transportation impacts, and those sort of things. Amendment 4, this is that section 12 that I mentioned for special uses. There are a number of special uses called out in this section. Here tonight we're just going to address the additional requirements for marijuana. The first one being marijuana businesses, bullet A, including a new marijuana business located in the same location as previously approved marijuana business, shall obtain a zoning permit pursuant to section 7. That was the first one we went through. And that is so that there's just, again, that opportunity to verify it, make sure it's in the right zoning, it's meeting the TPM standards and all the basic requirements before we get too far. Additional approval criteria, specifically for the marijuana uses. The business must have a current city business license, must meet and comply with the TPM, the time, place, and manner restrictions. Must be set back from Highway 97 50 feet. Entrance shall not be visible from or oriented towards Highway 97 or Huntington Road unless the business is located in a building that is more than 50 feet from the right-of-way of those roadways. A marijuana business cannot be approved as a home occupation or home-based business. And finally, marijuana businesses can only be approved in the zones in which specific type marijuana business is expressly identified as an allowed use. Permissibility of one type of marijuana business in a particular zone cannot be the basis to allow a non-permitted type of marijuana business as a similar use in that zone. G, co-location of marijuana businesses on the same property is permitted, except as prohibited by state law and the TPM restrictions and the zoning ordinance. All marijuana businesses will conduct operations inside secure, enclosed structures. Marijuana products may not be displayed in a manner that is externally visible to the public. No drive-through, curbside, mobile, or other external sale methods are permitted. The applicant shall demonstrate how the proposed marijuana business complies with all state security system requirements applicable to the proposed marijuana business. The applicant must demonstrate how measures to control odor satisfies applicable requirements set forth in the TPM restrictions. The structure within which the marijuana business will operate must meet applicable fire and building code requirements. And finally, applications for a specific type of marijuana business shall satisfy the additional standards applicable to that type of marijuana businesses set out in subsection 4 through H below. Now, some of these are things that we already review conditional use applications by, but this is a good reminder to the applicant as well as to the reviewer to make sure that those are all included. Then we have additional criteria for the specific uses. So additional criteria for dispensaries. A marijuana dispensary must not be located, A, at the same address as a marijuana grow site registered under ORS 475B.420, or B, within 1,000 feet of the real property comprising a public or private elementary, secondary, and or career school attended primarily by minors, and or within 1,000 feet of another dispensary. These things are already outlined, I believe, in the TPM. It's reiterating them again, so it's a reminder to both parties. Within 1,000 feet means a straight line measurement in a radius extending for 1,000 feet or less in every direction from the closest point on the boundary line of the real property on which the medical marijuana dispensary is proposed to be sited. B, marijuana dispensaries are considered retail stores for the purposes of parking requirements. Number four, additional criteria for marijuana production facilities. The first one is reiterating the definition. It's a permanent, fully enclosed, not rigid, non-translucent structure. No hoop houses, etc. B, under no circumstances may marijuana products and retail sales of marijuana products occur at the same location of marijuana production. And C, where multiple producers operate in the same building or on the same property, initial construction and any expansion to any building shall be subject to site plan review. Each tenant and each change in tenant shall require approval of a zoning permit. Number five, additional criteria for marijuana processing facilities. Again, occur only in permanent, fully enclosed, rigid, non-translucent structures with a structural building permit. Reiterates no retail sales in the same location as processing. And where multiple processors, similar to the producers, the processors operate in the same building, the initial construction expansion needs to go through site plan review, and each tenant and change in tenant is required to submit a zoning permit. Number six, additional criteria for marijuana testing. Again, no retail sales conducted at a testing laboratory. And then there's a section seven for conditions of approval that would be additional review criteria for the applications. Subject to the following, see, businesses shall obtain, this was in the last code for dispensary, but it's just applying it greater, broader to businesses. Documentation of all the state approvals, registration, licensing, etc. Marijuana businesses shall keep all required state registration, licensing, and permitting current. Marijuana businesses shall keep all required city business licenses permits current. And at all times, marijuana businesses shall remain compliant with Ordinance 201502 or Ordinance 2016-10. Those are the medical marijuana and the recreational marijuana time, place, manner, and apply with state laws. So again, these are not rewriting the law necessarily, it's reiterating it. E, this was changing it from marijuana dispensary to businesses. For all of those. So these are ones that were already approved for dispensaries, but broadened to relate to businesses requiring zoning permit and site plan review, that they can't they will expire if the business doesn't operate for a period of six consecutive months. Amendment five, I think we are near the end. This addresses the parking. So specifically marijuana wholesaler production, processing or labs, will require four parking spaces plus one additional space per 2,000 square feet gross floor area. And that sums up those. Just as a reminder, because they are zoning ordinance amendments, it was required to be noticed to the state, so Department of Land Conservation and Development 35 days in advance. It was noticed to the public via listing around town, as well as notices in the newspaper and on the website. And we're here to hearing right now. So the criteria, I won't review these in great detail. They are very similar to the ones that apply for the dispensaries, and they are in your packet. As I mentioned, the procedures have been followed, the noticing requirements follow very closely. The items of the staff report that I would draw attention to that relate to a new business in town relates to the comprehensive plan, as well as the statewide planning goal addressing economic development. You could, I think, very clearly justify that new business in town does support economic development. It does not impact housing, as this is not allowed in a residential zone. And most of the comprehensive plan sections regarding forest and ag and open space and preservation don't really apply to these specific amendments. So if there's any questions on the staff report, I'm happy to answer them. But I will turn it back over to you, Chairman, for testimony.
Okay, this concludes the staff comments. Are there any public comments at this time regarding this matter? Okay. All right, I'll close the public hearing.
commissioners' deliberations. Now we have to after deliberation take a vote on this.
Yes. Yeah, this would be a
Mary, Mary, do you have any comments? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, were there no testimony, no public testimony?
No, there's nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
Okay. Yes, no public comments. So they said the hearing's closed now. Mary, what's your...
My take on it? It seems like it's all thought out very good, and everything's put in place. I mean, it's been a long time coming to get us all together, and it seems like it's together finally.
Okay. Russ?
How long is it going to take after we pass this before it gets approved by the liquor group in the state?
Well, the code, if you recommend it tonight, it would go to council. Hopefully, we get it on the May agenda. And if council approves of it unanimously in that first meeting, it would be effective 21 days from that date. Or 30. It'll probably be 30, right? So there's two qualifiers. If an ordinance is adopted by emergency, it's effective immediately, but there's a 21-day appeal period. I suspect that this won't be emergency, but I don't know. That's a council and management call. If it is adopted by emergency, it's effective immediately, but there's still a 21 days. If it's not, it's a 30-day effectiveness window, with the appeal period occurring within there. So
at least 30 days, depending upon whether it's
right.
An emergency that I give my marijuana to.
Right.
Okay. Just wondered.
Okay. John, you got anything?
Not really. It looks like the verbiage is comprehensive and has been well thought out and probably rehashed and revised many, many times prior to my involvement. I don't see any reason to question any of that. For me, of course, assuming that it is well enforced, the fiscal impact, the economic development is something we really need to pay attention to, I think. I think it's good.
Controlled chaos.
Yeah, well, I think it's well documented.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, that's me.
All right. I think it was said well thought out and closing some more loopholes, but we'll probably revisit it again. But anyway,
hopefully not this year.
Yeah, I was going to say when Tammy was talking about putting in some rules and then there was a little gap and then putting in some more rules. There were marijuana rules in between those as well, the recreational TPM. I mean, this has been like tracking a moving target. You're dealing with state rules. Obviously, we know where the federal government stands. And then you've got City of Levine with 1,700 people and a staff of 6 people and contract legal consultants, planning consultants. And we're doing our best. And you know, I think one thing that's been insightful for us to a degree, because we did not take our respective jobs to become experts in this industry, is that we've been forced to learn a lot about this and to talk a lot about it and to look at it from multiple angles. And it's been a little bit of stumble this way and then stumble that way, but I think eventually we get on the right course. And this is an important step in terms of just making things explicit and clear in our code. When most times you talk to a good lawyer, they'll say, well, it depends on the case. The gray area is this big. Then you put that rationale on top of marijuana, and the attorneys don't even know which way to go or what advice to give. So this whole thing has just been a process. And so I just, that's a little caveat. I feel like I need to be a little catharsis for me at this point, so I'll just stop talking. But I appreciate your patience to work through this as well. So.
Yeah, I think it's you've done a very good job considering all the ebb and flow and, you know, whatever.
And considering we're breaking new territory out here.
I mean, it isn't often you get to break federal laws.
What the feds are going to do long term is still nebulous. So you're right.
Do we have to take a vote on this motion?
Yes. The motion would be, if this was your motion, to recommend approval of the amendments to City Council for consideration. Okay.
Do I have a motion to recommend the 2017-08-IF to the City Council?
I so motion.
Okay, do we have a second?
I second the motion.
Okay, can we have a vote? State your name.
Mary Hatfield, yay.
Russ Smith, yay.
John Cameron, yay.
Norman Glenn, yay.
Okay, that's passed. We recommend it to forward it to the Council. Okay, any other comments on that? You get all that? Okay, all right, now we have item 10, consideration of applicants for the Planning Commission vacancy.
Yeah, I'll give a little bit of background on that. You have two applications included in the packet tonight, one from Jane Gillette and one from Tom Bradler. I reached out to both applicants about a week and a half ago, I think, 2 weeks ago. When I was informed that, as I mentioned earlier, Commissioner Kathy Agin decided to resign and step away. A little background, I think, for Norm, because he wasn't here. We did have a vacancy a month and a half ago, whereabouts, and we had three applicants, and John Cameron was one, and Jane Gillette and Tom Bradler were the other two. And so, to sort of expedite getting the Planning Commission back up to its full five members, which has been a bit of a process over the last handful of months, I reached out to Jane and to Tom and said, are you still interested? They both said yes. Tom is out of town, so he wasn't able to make it tonight, and I didn't know whether the Planning Commission, because some of you were involved in the previous appointment process, wanted an opportunity to ask them questions. So Tom is not here tonight, Jane is here, and their applications are in your packet. I hope you had a chance to look at those. And ultimately, we'd be looking for a recommendation to council for one of these two applicants to be appointed to the Planning Commission.
Okay. All right, you've got the applications in front of you. Do we have any? Jane is here. Okay, Jane, step forward, please. State your name and address.
Hello, I'm Jane Gillette, 51857 Fordham Drive in Lapine.
Okay. All right, questions, Mary?
Hi, Jay.
Hello.
I would be happy to have you on the board.
Thank you.
Commission.
Thank you.
Okay, Russ?
No
question. Do you still want to be on?
I think so. You know, again, my concern is time involvement more than anything, since I'm still working. But I think I won't know until I do it.
Absolutely.
So, and then you always have the opportunity to resign if you feel like it's too encumbering in my schedule or anything else. So, but
thanks.
I'm not a person that generally takes on a task without a little bit of knowledge going into it, and then I don't go in half-heartedly. If I say I'm willing to do something, I do it. You know. So.
Okay. All right.
You had mentioned the time involvement.
Sure.
And because of that, I turned around and decided to figure out how much time I was spending on this. It's varied between 10 to 20 hours per month.
Okay.
Right now. And, you know, I don't know how that fits in with your schedule, but I would have a feeling that probably the 10 hours might be on the light side. Because in the next couple of years, we will probably be having a lot more demand.
True.
But you're well aware of that. You know the real estate business around here, and it's not like it was 2 years ago or
yeah.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
So, are you still interested after?
Yeah. I've been very busy this last year, and I need to step back a little bit and probably be more selective as to the clients I take on in my real estate business, just due to tax purposes more than anything. You know.
Okay. That it?
Yep.
Hey, John?
We were in the same seats whenever it wasn't 1.5 ago, and I heard a lot of what you said then. The real estate business you conduct, is the real estate business typically within Lapine? Okay.
That's my area of concentration.
Right. You know, I hear the words conflict of interest as a concern for that. I don't honestly have the experience to know whether it would be that. I suspect not.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Not personally. I don't think at times there might be, I could think of cases where there might be a client or an ex-client or future client or something that might be coming before the commission with a proposal or something like that, and at that point I would probably recuse myself.
The only piece I would add on that is that, yeah, essentially, and I really appreciate this about, I think most people I've heard talk about conflict of interest is they're overly concerned about that, maybe more than they should be.
Yeah.
Conflict of interest, if you serve to potentially gain financially, is essentially the conflict of interest. Otherwise, it might be an ex parte contact or something to disclose. But there always is the ability to state a potential conflict of interest, and then at that time, you know, staff could advise that is an actual conflict of interest, and then they could recuse themselves. And then the other piece I would note is that in the ordinance that created the Planning Commission, there is a stipulation that only two members of the Planning Commission can participate in real estate sales or activities or have that as a career or profession. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, no members of the Planning Commission are engaged in that activity.
Have a real estate license, though.
So, just a little more light to shed on.
Well, I mean, in that regard, then having real estate expertise of some sort actually could be to an advantage to the commission.
And one of the reasons I put my application in, I felt that it might be a benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
If you represented Mr. Walk, I think there would be a conflict.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
However,
during the process of a purchase.
Yeah. I mean, that's so big a flashing light, I don't think there'd be any question there.
Yeah.
Okay. So your principal work is here.
Yes.
The area.
Yes.
You don't think it's going to be a problem with your time?
You know, until I'm really given that challenge.
That's
it's time management more than anything else. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right. And then thank you very much for your time. Any other questions? No.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to go home.
Okay.
So
yes, go home.
You can let me know.
The other one is Thomas Bradley.
Bradler.
Okay. You talked to him before, I guess?
Yeah, he was interviewed us at the same time I was.
Okay. What were your feelings on that gentleman?
Actually, to sum up the last interviews we had, we selected John because he lived in the city, and Tom didn't. And Jane didn't show up at the last meeting. So,
okay, is Tom the one who's going to build a house here, or building a house here?
Tom does not live within the city yet.
Yeah.
But again, just again, citing the way the Planning Commission ordinance was set up, it was set up that two members of the Planning Commission could live outside the city.
They can be.
Now, I consulted with legal staff. I read it and interpreted it one way and verified the legal staff that it was written to have that flexibility. It's not a requirement that two members live outside the city. And actually, I think what staff and confirmed with legal counsel was that, you know, ideally we would have all members from inside the city.
Right.
But again, it's not a hard and fast rule, and that's up to Planning Commission and Council discretion.
Well,
as a matter of fact, Kitty was mayor at the time when this was written, as far as the people. And I was carefully reminded that the reason why we did that or you did that way back when, was because we didn't have enough people in the city involved, so
exactly.
We had to go outside.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's why it was even written in that we could have outies and innies.
Okay.
That was for clarification. Sorry to add that.
I think it would be good if we had people inside the city, because that's what we're really working on.
Yes.
So Kathy,
you're
replacing
yeah.
Kathy, who lived in the city.
Of course.
If it was, you know.
Yeah, of course. I live outside, and you know, everything's around the pine. I mean,
yeah.
you're part of it.
Oh, yeah.
25 miles around, so
yeah.
We won't hold it against you.
No.
That's right. You're the head of the commission. Tactically, Regina. Okay, well, I'm going to... we're going to deliberate on that now and vote on something to send to the commission. I was not here for this gentleman, so I'll say I like Jane.
I like
vote
Jane.
For Jane. But do you guys, what's your feedback on the other one, Ed Thomas?
I've known Jane ever since we moved here. And I think that she would be a good addition to the group. I know that she's a hard worker. And as she said, if she takes something on, she really gets into it. And that's something that we...
And I appreciate the working aspect that she's still working and brings that prospect to, I mean, bringing her opinions to the board is very good.
And it isn't bad to get the real estate dealers' ideas in here too, as we are trying to go through some of the zoning laws. How is this going to affect the future and things like that?
Okay. Alrighty. We have to vote on that to send one of them to be recommended to the council. Can I have a motion, or let's see?
A motion for Jane to be on the commission.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. Do we have a vote?
Let's go for it.
Okay. Mary?
Yay.
State your name.
Mary Hatfield. Yay.
Russ Smith. Yay.
John Cameron. Yay.
Norm McClung. Yay. Okay. So it passes. We'll send Jane Gillette on to the council for their approval. Okay. Right. Okay. It's kind of hard to vote on somebody when they're not here.
Yeah, I wish she was here to talk to, but
yeah. There'll be other chances.
For me, the real estate expertise is the point.
Yes, and that'll help us. I really do believe it will.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 11, other matters. Only those matters probably added to this agenda under line number 4. Line item number 4.
I wish there were none.
Pardon?
There were none.
Okay. All right. And okay, number 12, staff comments.
I have a few things. First is that staff is working on, we're doing a transition from our current IT service provider to a new IT service provider. And part of that is going to be getting a new server upstairs. Because the one we have now is inadequate, has some deficiencies, not under warranty, puts the city at risk. And so we're getting a new server. Part of that process also is that we're going to be expanding our email domain to an extent. And so we got legal advice, which I think is prudent, to have all volunteers with the city have city email addresses. And so I don't know if it'll be in the next 2 weeks or the next month or month and a half, but stay tuned for creation of a city email address. And we've heard about experience of the existing platform and how it's not user-friendly, so I'm optimistic that the new platform will be much more user-friendly, so there shouldn't be issues accessing agendas and communicating that way, possibly doing all that remotely. So just a heads up, putting it in the back of your mind. And then we've talked about this for almost a year, this Transportation Growth Management grant, this TGM grant, to review the city's codes, specifically with an eye to the downtown area. Huntington Road and looking at new design standards, possibly architectural standards, things like that. I yesterday signed the scope of work, and it is getting ready to begin, I'd say, in the next month or two. I told them, if possible, if we could get through budget. Wait, not in May, so maybe June we'll have the first meeting. So to remind everyone on that, I think what I'm going to do is send you the scope of work for you to it's not a rushed thing, you know, you'll have time to review it. And then also the first EGM process we went through back in the summer of 2015, and it culminated in a presentation here in October 2015. So I'll send you that report as well, which kind of ties into some of the considerations in terms of code amendments. And so we'll be digging, and then going through that process, there will be Planning Commission work sessions with a consultant, Angelo Eaton Group. This is all a grant through the Department of Land Conservation and Development and ODOT, jointly funded. So there will be work sessions, there will be joint meetings with Planning Commission and Council, there will be some public outreach, and this will be a good opportunity for all of you to really roll your sleeves up and spend some time engaging with city code and helping to shape development for future Little Pine. So it's an exciting process. It fits in line with everything else that the city is prioritizing and trying to really make a reality. So that is finally on the horizon to get started. And that's about it I have for now. Looking ahead to next month, we should be on track to again have the meeting, get back in the routine of the third Wednesdays. I don't think we have any applications right now that would precipitate us changing that date. I think that's about all I have. Does any other staff have any comments?
I think I've said enough tonight.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, you got any more comments?
I think you guys are doing a great job.
Staff, that is.
The staff.
Okay.
Yeah, not us.
No, not us.
That was my second. Russ?
Yeah, I do have something that I missed putting out when you asked about the prior building of the property, on the property out here. One of the things that came up in my mind was the fact that Tyler was not the owner of the property. And I think that's something we really have to look at, because we have at least one other area in the city that I know that somebody's grandmother owns a property and they have trash all over it. We can't get it out of there because we have to hunt her down. She's in a nursing home. And let's be real careful about in-laws that's unlaid, or outlaws or whatever, that suddenly decide they want to build property down here. And by the way, the person who owns the property happens to be in Florida or someplace else, and they have no way on earth are they going to ever come up here.
And unfortunately, if they abide by all the rules,
you know, that may be all the criteria. What they're applying for.
Yeah.
The original application was made out under Tyler's name.
Yeah. Okay.
It was only after we caught it that finally Lawrence decided to send in an application. I hope we charge him twice.
Okay. John, you got anything?
Not really. I think the email address thing is an important thing.
Yes.
I don't know if at some point we can address business cards.
I thought about that.
We'd like to have that be able to hand out as required. Good meeting.
Okay.
Confirming the budget meeting coming up. May 2, 3, and maybe 4?
Correct. Okay. Yep, 5:30 here. Budget committee meetings open to the public. We'll have budgets to you, the budget committee members and council, by our plan is to have the proposed budget to you and accompanying documents by Friday, April 28th.
Okay. Yeah, I have the previous fiscal year budget that I've been looking at and studying.
Good. And actually, on that note, if I could have two more minutes. First, going to not the relative issue, but the code enforcement issue,
right.
Which I know now that the snow has melted and things are visible again. It's hot topic. I get it. And as a result, because it's to my own consternation, frustrating to not be able to make progress on things. I set up a time with our land use attorney. It's a month out from now, the meeting date, but the next 3 weeks are crazy packed. So set up that meeting, and I want to review the city's nuisance and abatement ordinances and look at how, given the staff time and capacity we have, we understand that constraint, but given that, how can we streamline and simplify the process and really maximize code enforcement? Now, there will be some possible council decisions or planning commission weighing in on, you know, how big of a stick is a big stick, okay? And how much city funds should be put into wielding that stick. So anyways, more to come on that. In terms of the budget, we have, city staff has proposed that approximately halfway through next fiscal year, so in the winter, whether it's January or February or March, looking to hire a full-time management position for a senior planner or community development director. And so they would obviously serve as the chief person, the public hearings official, writing staff reports, serving in that capacity. But they would also have other time to assist with code enforcement, grant writing, grant administration, updating transportation system plans, working with other groups in the community to try to leverage or partner and those types of things. And I just think as things pick up and as the city takes on more and tries to really take some big strides, that's a critical step. So just a quick
heads up. To tie in on what Corey was saying, I don't know if any of you heard, but this year the cleanup for Lapine, City of Lapine is going to be a whole week. And the city is cooperating with the Shine on Lapine group. There are going to be some dumpsters. All the details are not worked out, but they're going to be strategically placed. So it's a real good time for people to clean up. And if they've got a problem, let the city know. And, you know, there's groups that will try to help them.
It's also a good time to identify problem areas, too.
Right.
Definitely. On that note, we're talking about that at the council work session next week, and then staff will finalize all that early May. The cleanup's the last week in May, second to last.
Yeah, May through June 3rd or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then so staff, again, we're trying to be creative to a degree in the sense of, you know, if we can say, bring your trash, appropriate trash, in these bags to this location, we'll get rid of it. So flipping it on its head a little bit, trying to be proactive about cleaning up things. So anyways, just some more updates.
All right. Anything else, Commission?
Actually, I do have two other things that I just thought of. Number one is I will be out in May.
Okay.
For the month of May. I'll be on the road, so don't even bother to call. The other one is we had a meeting with the invasive species guy from Deschutes about a year ago. They were talking about spraying and things like that. We may want to follow up with that again.
I will have to do a little research on that. Did he, when you say a meeting with he or
he
she
came down, presented, and found
out.
And
we're going to check on which one you were going to go with.
No, that was the spraying for mosquitoes. This is for invasive species.
It's not spraying for weed abatement, noxious weeds,
yeah.
John Valley, Williams County. Okay. Yeah, Jake Obrist, City Public Works Manager, is coordinating with John to essentially contract or trade City Public Services to have him spray certain areas this year while they're doing other county right-of-ways.
I was thinking as we're cleaning up Lapine, we've got some very bad invasive
invasive species. Sure. A bunch of these places out there. And I know at that time they said, well, we don't spray under roads. All that takes care of half of a pine. So,
yeah, I'll follow up with Jake on that. That's a good point.
John, you got something?
I was just going to ask if anything ever happened with the additional admin title.
Yeah. We had interviews last Friday, and I'm waiting on a formal letter offer of employment from legal staff. Hopefully it's in my inbox tonight or early tomorrow morning. And still tentatively planning to have the preferred candidate begin on or around May 1st. So I'm optimistic about that. Yeah. You'll meet them soon, hopefully.
Good.
Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, let's call it adjourned. Okay? At whatever time.
Motion.
We have to vote.
I vote that we adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Let's have a vote.
I already have a vote.
Russ Smith, aye.
John Cameron, aye.
Aye.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.